Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
We start this second hour. Good morning, everybody, by the way. Happy Tuesday. Beautiful morning. Everybody in shape for the week, by the way? We had late night hockey Sunday.
Right.
Late night basketball last night. We'll have late night hockey tonight.
Uh-huh.
Late night basketball tomorrow. You see what's going on?
I see the trend.
I mean, it's good. I love it. Every night. But, you know. For us morning warriors, and I'm speaking to all of you great listeners out there. I mean, it's not always easy.
No.
So, are you in shape for the week?
Yeah, there will be.
Because it's going to be a grind.
There will be, after I get my chores done and some phone calls done, some emails done, maybe a little studying done. Dog has a 1:30 vet appointment. So I should be able to get home around, let's say, no later than 2:30.
Okay, I see a window here.
Yeah. I think from the 2:30 to the 3:30 window.
Yeah.
There could be lay down. I always lay down on the floor with my feet up on a chair.
Yeah, because that's normal.
I just take some pressure off your back.
Ah.
Then I put on a movie that I've seen 20 times before.
Mm-hmm.
And I sleep like a baby.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I got you.
But I don't like you probably go into your room, close the door,
yep.
You know, get in your underpants.
Yep.
I am not.
And make the room dark like a cave.
Right. No. See that?
Put the fan on.
I don't like
not
that.
Not our fan. Not this fan.
Yeah.
A fan.
This, one of them things. Right. I don't like.
Drone, like a little white noise. Right.
I don't like going cave dwelling. I'm not a spelunker when it comes to napping. I'm not a nap spelunker.
But I also don't then say, all right, I'm going to sleep for 3 hours. That's not good.
Right.
Our friends at NASA have determined that actually shorter naps are better. And for some reason, you don't want to get, like, an hour's good, but an hour and a half is bad.
Who comes up with this stuff? Like, how do they know?
They're smart.
But how do they know that an hour?
I don't know. They do studies. You know, they feed their, give their astronauts some Tang and then they, take a nap.
Some dehydrated food. I mean, you're saying that dehydrated food is good for you. And then you say at the same time, you're saying, oh, an hour and a half is not good, but an hour is good. I don't buy it.
All right. So the Nuggets lose last night and we're met with this text. I see the Mike Malone apologists are at it again. No blame for Mike at all last night. Wow. What does he have on you two?
One, name is Mike. Put some respect in your tone.
Yeah, respect the man.
James.
Michael.
And Jimmy. Jimmery.
Yeah.
You know, I did think, if we want to criticize Mike Malone, or Michael Malone, I did think when Phoenix was going on that 19-2 run, I was like, at some point, are we going to call a timeout?
Yeah, I wrote that down in my handy nanny notebook.
Did you?
Malone, like, slow on timeout?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah, I was like, hey, at some point, let's stop the bleeding and stop the momentum just from a stoppage of the game alone. Because they just were, like, they couldn't miss. They were on fire.
Well, especially since the timeout did work. It did stop the momentum for a time. Because after that run, the Nuggets found themselves down 79-72. They called the timeout. And then after that, the game was sort of stabilized for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jr. Porter hit a three-pointer. Phoenix answered with a hoop.
Michael Jr. Porter.
Aaron Gordon made a shot. Phoenix answered with a bucket. Then Jokic made a shot. Phoenix answered.
Jimmy Joe Jokic.
Then Phoenix answered with a bucket. But you see what I'm saying?
Right.
That okay, You stopped the momentum, and you kept the game a four-point game for a while.
Right.
And then Phoenix went on another run.
Right.
But I do get what you're saying. That
listen, hey, at one point,
Vic Malone.
Right.
You don't get to take timeouts home with you.
Right. Well, at one point, it was 70-60, and then it felt like it just you just looked up, and all of a sudden it was 79-94. And I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Right.
Like, how did that happen so fast? And I know there's some merit into letting your guys, when somebody goes on a run, to have enough confidence in your leadership and your guys on the court to say, hey, guys, we got to buckle down and we got to put a stop to this. You know, we got to squelch this uprising. But at the same time, when that doesn't happen, okay, a couple trips down the court, I get it. If it doesn't happen, Mike, at some point you have to say time out. Like,
right.
What are we doing here?
But
what are we talking about?
But
what are we talking about?
Like, are we? You know Michael Malone got in the huddle. What are we doing? What are we talking about here?
What are we talking about? What are you guys doing? If he had this song,
yeah.
Oh, my God. They don't want last night.
And the players would have responded. No, again, back to my...
Everybody talking about pop music.
Yeah.
Do it.
Again, with my handy-dandy notebook, my notes during the game. So it's 88-79 to start the fourth. And literally a minute and a half later, it's 94-79, another timeout. And I wrote, what the hell just happened here?
Right.
It was like all of a sudden, it's like game over. What the heck happened?
Right.
You know, and then I also wrote, this isn't Portland D. This isn't Portland. Phoenix, they show, first of all, a willingness to play D. Portland doesn't care about playing defense.
No.
And they can't flip a defensive switch and really start to lock you down.
Right.
Phoenix showed they can. And unfortunately, the Nuggets fell into the trap and just decided, hey, let's just continue to three-point shoot our way out of this. All right, lesson learned.
Right.
Lesson learned, and now let's see how they adjust.
I tell you, he's a good-looking, long, athletic, energy guy. Torrey Craig. Wish we could have just a guy like that. Really be good for our roster.
You know, and I'm watching Nikola Jokic look a little tired, a little flat-footed, no presence at all around the rim defensively. I'm like, boy, Mason Plumlee could give you some good minutes right now. Remember when we all heralded the JaVale McGee trade?
Yeah.
Remember how excited we all were about the JaVale McGee trade?
All I see is him walking around with a back brace on, you know, the things like a heat and cool and ice and stem all in one.
Yeah.
We should just have he cheers. He's a good cheer.
Good cheerleader. Good cheerleader. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, hey, it got away from him. Room for criticism. Let's not bury him. If we've learned anything about this team over the last couple of years, do not put too much stock in game one. This now makes them 2-5, going back the last 3 years of playoff runs. 2-5 in game ones. And in the games in the series where they lost game one, 2019, they beat the Spurs in 7. 2020, they beat the Clippers in 7. Obviously beat Portland in the last series in the first round. So let's not bury him just yet. Okay, coming up next, Mark out at Broncos OTA. All kinds of hot takes from my man Mark Schlereth. You'll hear him next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All All right, Four Down Territory coming up at 7:30. Got Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider, will join us at 7:45. Plenty of reaction coming into the Nuggets' loss last night. Looking ahead to Avs Vegas, Game 5 tonight. You were out at Broncos OTA yesterday.
Hey, let me interrupt you right there.
Sure.
Just speaking of the Broncos, be remiss if we didn't mention the retirement of Steve Antonopoulos, Greek. 45 years served as the trainer for the Denver Broncos. And an incredible man. And I tell you what, like there are people who pour into your life that make a difference. And he added years to my career. You know, we spent so much time together. But he's just cutting edge, was always on top of things, health-wise, was a real advocate for the players, for myself. You know, there's this old saying, are you praying to be blessed or to be a blessing? And Greek was a blessing in my life and so many other people's lives that were connected with the Broncos. So, part of eight championship runs, part of eight Super Bowls, Steve Antonopoulos. So, Greek, congratulations. I love you. You're a great man and made a huge impact in my life.
Is lone Achilles heel?
Cribbage. Great man, horrible cribbage player. Great man, yeah. Horrible.
Sure you didn't take advantage of that at
no.
all.
You know me, I would never head down when somebody was in recovery from surgery. And open a can of whoop ass and
Diamond Point? You want to go Diamond Point today? What do you think? Diamond Point?
Let's raise the stakes.
Well, congratulations to Greek. Absolutely. Okay, you were out there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Had your,
as I was,
yes. Andy notebook. You were taking some notes, some observations, and, share.
It was fun to see some 11 on 11 drills, to see kind of where they are right now. It'll be really fun when they put pads on and when they go. Where do they go? Are they scrimmaging, I think, against Minnesota, right? They're going to go up to Minnesota.
Correct.
That'll be an interesting take. Minnesota really struggled last year on the defensive side of the ball with some injuries and some lack of performance issues, but they've addressed some of those things. One thing I know about Mike Zimmer, their head coach, Mike Zimmer is a really good defensive coach, almost in the vein of Vic Fangio, where, you know, he's had a lot of success as a defensive coach, really understands gaps, gap assignments, how to defend the run, and, you know, play solid, just solid. You're going to have to execute to beat us type of thing. So it's going to be a great challenge for this offense that frankly was a little bit disappointing. I shouldn't say the offense was disappointing. Drew Lock, I think, he's just a tick slow on everything. And offense, you have to understand how rhythmic offense is. And to really be good as an offense, there's got to be a rhythm to what you do. Even as an individual player, Mike, and I told you on Friday I had this 2.5 hour Zoom call. And we were, you know, with an NFL team that I'm consulting for, and we were talking about the rhythm of snap count and just how good you've got to be in creating a rhythm for your offense. And I was talking about in my own brain, and I don't know if other people do this, but I always share this with people that are trying to become better at running the football. I was like, there is a rhythm, almost a soundtrack to my feet that I always thought about in my head as a player. So if I'm running, what should my feet sound like if I'm in a three-step upkick drop or if I'm in a five-step drop or if I'm coming off the ball on 19 handoff? And so I was telling this coach, I go, my feet on a handoff, I want my feet to sound like this. Dah! And that second, that one is where I want to be making contact. So I want my foot in the ground and I want my hands and my hips to snap through. And so I always had this understanding or this almost rhythm in my head of what a good run block should sound like. And that's offense. And when I see the Broncos under Drew Lock, that is what
the offense sounds like. He's not choking right now.
Sounds like.
Right.
Right? It's disjointed.
Right.
It doesn't have a rhythm to it. Right. It doesn't have a flow to
Turkey
it.
Turkey jerky.
It is. And that's what it feels like. And when Teddy does it, you know, when Teddy does it, there is a little bit more rhythm to it. It's
why?
You
know, why?
Why?
Why is he out of rhythm? Why doesn't he process? Why doesn't he see things better, quicker, anticipate more? Why?
I think that he came from a system in college where here's the guy we're throwing to, go. Hey, we're going to protect you, and, you know, we don't worry about protection. Don't worry. There are no hots. We're one-on-one on the outside, and we're going to throw it. And this game is the professional game is so much different. And the other thing from an accuracy standpoint, you can be late with the football in college and it not hurt you. You can't in the pros. And part of the reason, Mike, is even though the field is the same size, the field's much bigger in college because of the wide side of the field. So you have more room to make an errant throw and let somebody adjust to it. Pro football's not like that. You can't have that. And it's something that's not ever talked about, but it's a huge aspect of the game.
So what did your feet sound like on a run play? Five step? Seven step.
Seven step can be a little bit, it just depends. Like, da-da-da!
Let me guess.
I just made that one up.
Let me guess.
I just made that
Let
one
me
up.
Guess. When you were in your hotel room the night before a game,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Getting all sweaty, moving the furniture around.
Right.
And you were practicing all your different sets and everything.
Yeah.
You were making those noises.
Oh, no, so. You know it. You know it.
Well, your neighbor.
I am the Shakira of NFL football.
Mark's feet are like Shakira.
Yeah, my feet don't lie. They just don't.
Four down territory, more hot takes from Mark's trip out to OTAs, including a couple of prominent Bronco offensive players who better be looking over their shoulder. Tell you who next.
I want Mason Roy help.
This is four down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Not really. I think it's too early to come to any conclusions, one way or the other. Even a small conclusion. Mike and Pat are work with him on that stuff, and I'm not worried about it at this point.
Okay, file that away under coach speak, white lies. Not going to hammer him. Not going to call him an out-and-out liar. I mean, that's unfair, but come on. You don't think that Vic Fangio is at least right now working with a conclusion? In his mind, you don't think coaches all the time are constantly thinking, if I had to play a game today.
Right.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
So come on. I mean, too early to draw conclusions. I don't buy it. Right now, Teddy Bridgewater is his starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's too early.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
It's too early. Yeah, if we had to play tomorrow, there's no question. It's too early to draw a conclusion to say, hey, Drew Locke is not going to progress at all. Like
that's fair.
That's too early.
Okay.
But, I mean, here's what I know about coaches. Coaches like the security of veteran players, right? Because they know at least, hey, we may not make the dynamic wow play, but we're not going to make the dynamic wow play on the opposite, on the bad end either. And I think there's security in that, right? There's security. You know, you always say, hey, we want explosive plays, right? Well, that works both ways. Like, you know, if, like, diarrhea is explosive. I don't want it every
day. I knew you were going to do that.
Right?
I knew you were going to do that.
That's a good, it's a good analogy. Right? So there's good explosive, and then there's bad explosive.
Correct.
And right. Good explosive.
Right. Yeah, I think you made your point.
TNT.
I think you made your point.
If you're, you know, blowing up a cave or whatever right, for your nap.
Right.
Bad explosive.
Right.
You're trying to take a nap and right, and you got to run to the restroom.
Yes, I think you have made it quite clear what bad explosive is.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
I'm glad we had this little conversation.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Man, it's great to be back out here. It's great to see all y'all being back out there at the offense. You know, we have a lot of work to do. You know, it's only June, so there's a lot of work to do to bring this offense together. But everyone's out here working and showing up, and that's what matters, man. So proud of Drew, proud of Teddy, proud of our offensive line. We're going to continue to work every day. So we knocked a lot of dust off today doing some of our first team periods. So we have a lot of work to do moving forward, man. We're going to get figured out.
I could only hope to be as optimistic in life as Dalton Risner is. So Dalton Risner is secure in his position. Thought it was a little interesting talk about the guys that were there. Melvin Gordon is not there. And you think Melvin Gordon ought to be looking over his shoulder.
I think it's a bad look to, you know, be a guy that had a fumbling issue, that is not necessarily the most dynamic guy, who really looked at times toward the end of the season to be disinterested in pass pro and some other things, that there wasn't a sense of urgency at times watching film. And you got a kid they moved up to in the second round to draft because they liked him so much, and you're older with a huge salary. Like, and you're not getting, and you're giving those reps to those young players. It, like, all those things don't add up to be in your favor, so to speak.
Yeah, but he still got a contract that $9 million cap hit, $6.5 million dead cap. I know you talked earlier about the possibility that he could be cut, but
$6.5 million dead cap means that you're going to still save $3 million if you say hasta la vista, baby. Right?
Yeah, but the Broncos aren't really in a position right now where they need to create cap space. They already have,
right,
I think, the fourth most cap space in the NFL.
What about when Aaron Rodgers gets here?
Well, now we're talking about something different, aren't we? Four down territory.
Third down.
This guy's been doing it for 45 years, so heck of a career for him. Wish him all the best. Go enjoy life now that you are done with football.
That's Orlando Franklin, who I'm sure spent a lot of time with Steve Antonopoulos. But is it safe to say that of all the Denver Broncos who have passed through over the last 45 years, nobody, and I mean nobody, has spent more time with Greek than you?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, there was, you know, Elway was here for 17 years.
Yes, but you were constantly getting treatment.
Right.
You were constantly rehabbing.
That part is 100% true. Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt that anybody has spent more time. I guarantee you nobody's ever gone down to the recovery room and whipped his ass in cribbage while he was waking up from surgery.
Let's raise the stakes.
Yeah.
10 cents a point.
He woke up to the sound of cards shuffling and a cribbage board on his lap. Like, yeah, you ready to go?
You look alert to me.
Yeah, you look fine. Dollar point.
Congratulations to a great, great career. And I know that a man who's had a profound impact on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Next, in four down territory.
Fourth down.
That's the business side of football, not football business. So, I don't go there at all.
Yeah, Vic Fangio not really enthused about the idea of talking about the Juwan James, who has filed a grievance against the Broncos to try to recoup some of the money that he lost when they cut him, got rid of him, by invoking, in the language of the contract, getting hurt away from the facility. the right of the Broncos or any NFL team to do so. Did you find it interesting that on the same day that he did that, he signs with the Ravens? You know the Ravens. You know John Harbaugh really well.
Yeah.
You know how they do things over there, what their culture is. Does this surprise you in any way?
It does surprise me. I mean, when I think of the Ravens, man, I think of just hard-nosed toughness.
And accountability.
Yeah.
And reliability. Availability.
Right. All those abilities.
A lot of abilities.
All those.
Responsibility.
Right. All those abilities. When I hear the name Juwan James, I don't think of abilities.
Right.
Abilities and John and Juwan James.
Could this just be one of those cases where Harbaugh looks at it and says, hey, I'm going to take a chance on the talent and I'm going to bank on the idea that he's going to get into our building, our culture, which is stronger than what they have in Denver right now.
Stronger than Oak.
And be able to, you know, get this guy to see the way, see the light.
And here's the thing, and I've said this several times over the last couple of weeks, is toughness is hard to find and it's really hard to teach. Right? Obviously you get into that situation and you kind of have to pick up your toughness level, but I mean, there's varying levels of toughness when it comes to the National Football League. That's a guy that I think is a little bit questionable.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour on the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider. Also, would it be a sign of panic if Jared Bednar shook things up for tonight's Game 5? That's next. Question Mark coming up at 8 o'clock. You got a specific question for Mark. Hit us up on the Ramoslav.com text line, 303-713-1043. Include hashtag question mark. You go near the front of the line. Put hash brown, send it to the internet. You go to the absolute front of the line. Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider, presented by Bet River Sportsbook, joins us now. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. We're just excited about the Rockies carrying some momentum into this.
We're not. Stop lying.
Oh, goodness gracious. The road woes are the road woes. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, so that they actually play a little bit better on the road?
You know, guys, I wish I could say yes, but until they prove it, no. I mean, the numbers are so bad right now. 197 team batting average on the road. I mean, that's just insanely bad. You know, I was looking at the catching duo. Guys, on the road, the Rockies' two catchers are hitting .093. I mean, you know, I hate to be so pessimistic, but until they turn it around, you know, you can't really let them off the hook because they got to prove it. And, you know, hopefully they will, because it's just really awful baseball on the road right now. At home, though, they're doing okay. So I wish I could be a little more positive today, but, you know, I'm going to hold their feet to the fire until they prove they can turn it around.
Patrick,
turn it around a little bit.
MLB trade deadline is July 30th. Who are the Rockies that you expect to be dealt between now and then?
I still think Trevor Story is going to be traded, even though Bill Schmidt, I asked him point blank the other day about that, and he said it's not necessarily a done deal. I still think they have to move Trevor at some point. And by Trevor, by the way, comes off the IL tonight for the Miami game. John Gray, I think, is still a possibility, but we have to wait and see how long it takes for this elbow injury to solve itself. If people still have questions about that, he's not necessarily going to get moved. I think Michael Givens gets moved. I think even though Daniel Bard has a chance, I mean, still has, is under team control through next year. If somebody really comes knocking, Daniel Barton might get moved. And if I'm going to keep going, you know, C.J. Crone, an American League team looking for a reasonably cheap deal, might want to pick up C.J. Crone, too. I guess it depends on how bold the Rockies want to be in this rebuild.
Sounds like if they get rid of all those guys, we're not going to be able to fill nine. I mean, it just...
Yeah, I know.
Hey, what is the status of John Gray right now and that elbow after that, you know, that short outing the other day?
Well, you know, everybody feared the worst because whenever you hear, you know, flexor injury and pain and numbness in the forearm and the elbow, people think Tommy John. Luckily, he had the scan. It came back clean. He's on the IL. He's with the team in Miami. So it sounds like they dodged a bullet. I don't know how long John's going to be out. I would imagine it'll be more than 10 days. But he should be back, I'm just guessing, a couple weeks. But I'm sure they're not going to rush him. But, you know, everybody was holding their breath because, you know, whenever you start talking about elbows in this day and age, the first thing that pops into your mind is Tommy John.
All right, three at Miami, three at Cincinnati, six games on the road. Buckle up. We'll see what happens. Patrick, as always, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider from the Denver Post, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Yeah, so that's really the only things to kind of look forward to right now. I guess there's only two real issues that I think are important right now. That is, who gets dealt, and what's the future of the front office? You know, Bill Schmidt, as he mentioned, the interim GM right now.
Right.
What direction do they go in to kind of, you know, get some permanency to the role left departed by the late, great Jeff Bradich?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that remains to be seen, and I'm sure there's going to be, you know, some changes there. But here's the deal. Part of it is, all right, we're going to move a bunch of salary and I understand that you're sellers. There's no question about it, but you know, what are you going to get in return? Like what are going to be the centerpiece acquisitions that you're going to get to not only become younger, but to become more talented? And those are the questions that, you know, you have to ask them, because if you're going to move all those pieces, and I understand why you're going to move them, you've got to get stuff in return that ends up becoming, not just becoming, hey, he's a really good minor league player, he's a really good 4A player. They've got to become, you know, major league, like legit major league players.
Yeah, you can't be trading for Jeff Hoffmans.
Right.
Guys who are stuck between AAA and the majors.
Yeah.
Guys like that. Guys, you were talking about abilities.
Yeah, abilities.
Abilities in regards to Juwan James. Here's his ability. Liability.
Yes. He's definitely on the bad end of the abilities. The liability. I like that. I'll steal that.
Chris in Denver. Did Paxton not have enough abilities? Is that why he sucked? Best, or maybe not best. What was his most noteworthy ability?
He's a tall guy.
No. Tall ability, no.
Tall ability?
No.
He's tall.
Cry ability?
He's tall.
He was tall. He didn't have many abilities.
Well, you I just don't want to fall into liability every time.
It's easy,
though. It's easy, but we need another ability.
Yeah. What's Paxton's ability?
His ability.
What's his biggest ability?
His biggest.
Let us know.
His biggest ability.
RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. We'll get to a question mark here. Actually, we'll get to a little early question mark.
Okay, a little early one here for you. Okay, from one of our great listeners. This one comes in from, who is it? I don't have the name here. No name on it. Mark, if you are Jared Bednar, would you break up the top line tonight?
No. Break up the top line?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't break up. Why would I break up the top line?
Hey, plenty of coaches have done that before, have mixed up the lines. Scotty Bowman, arguably the greatest coach of them all, was famous for shaking up lines. The idea being that, hey, what's working right now, what's happening right now isn't working. Let's give our top guys maybe somebody different to play with, a different look, a different feel. Maybe we spread out, add some depth to our lines by breaking it up.
So what
it would not be, what I'm saying is, right, it would not be unprecedented.
I get it.
But you wouldn't.
So would you like take Rantanen and put him down on the second line and then shuffle? Would that be?
Right. You do something like, okay, for example, you say, hey, I'm going to move, Landeskog down to the second line. I'm going to move Brandon Saad, who scored goals in 6 of the last 7 games. Got to move him up to the top line. Things like that.
Right. I don't think you do that.
Why not?
I just think at some point you go with the horses that got you there, and you just say, hey guys, it's on you. You got to play better. And I mean, I think you can overcoach those things. I'm just a believer. Now, I know there are different ways to win, but I'm a believer in we're better than you. We're going to out execute you. We're on home ice. We're not going to, those loose pucks, we're going to get to them first. We have to play better. And, mm-hmm. and that to me is when you look at the Avalanche, what's happened here last eight periods. Yeah. Last eight periods. You look at what's gone on the last 8 periods, it's been a dominant performance by the Knights. So at some point, don't you have to, you say, hey, step up guys and you guys gotta play better.
Let's say Nathan MacKinnon comes out tonight. Nothing changes. They just keep the status quo. And Nathan MacKinnon comes out tonight, scores 2 goals and the Avalanche win 4-2. All the talk afterwards is going to be about how Nathan MacKinnon rose to the occasion,
mm-hmm.
had a great game. Delivered like great players deliver. Nobody's going to be saying, wow, what a great performance by Jared Bednar for allowing and setting Nathan MacKinnon up to have a great game. It's not how it works. You know, when great athletes submit great performances, nobody is going on and on about what the role of the coach was,
right,
in allowing that great player, fill in the blank sport, to do what he or she did. So I find it amusing the last couple of days that this has all been about what Jared Bednar has to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, not about what Jared Bednar has to do. If Nathan MacKinnon is a great player, if Nathan MacKinnon is a true superstar, if Nathan MacKinnon wants to be talked about in the same breath as Joe Sakic, the player, as Peter Forsberg, were talked about.
Oh boy,
this is your moment.
Yeah.
This isn't about, well, Jared Bednar's got to do this. I mean, yes, could Jared Bednar take advantage of the fact that you are on home ice, you have the last shift change, and you can create some opportunities to separate him from the Chandler Stephenson line? Okay, yes, you can do that. But ultimately, this isn't about Jared Bednar pushing buttons. This is about great athletes, great players, rising to the occasion.
Right.
Simple as that.
There is one thing that Jared Bednar must do.
Yeah. I think we're on the same page.
He's got to get tightened up.
Yeah.
His hair is disheveled.
Yeah. He looked a little unkempt the other night.
Well, when you get to that point, where you are unkempt, your hair is kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much authority can you really speak with when your coach is telling you to tighten things up and you're thinking, hey, maybe you need to tighten things up?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what? I mean, you look like you're straight out of Colonial Williamsburg.
Right.
You know?
Are you going to yell out the British are coming?
Right?
I mean, in that powder wig you got going on?
I mean, how seriously can I take you when you're trying to give me advice on killing penalties and you're leaning over to talking to me and you have to keep tucking your hair over your ear?
Right. Exactly. You put your foot up on the wall, you'd look like you'd George Washington crossing the Delaware. Right?
Right.
Yeah. He needs, I hope he found, but he doesn't go to a barber.
No.
No. Goes to a stylist. Yeah. He is, and the thing that was, I mean, the front was unruly.
Yeah.
It's too long.
Yeah.
But the volume and the thickness on the sides was really concerning.
Yeah, it was.
It was really concerning.
You know, you're right. I mean, the guy is normally impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed it. That was the first. This is the first thing I noticed when they were showing him late in the game the other day. I'm like, that's concerning to me. He looks a little ruffled.
Right.
He looks a little unkempt, a little.
I'm thinking of the GIF.
Not as tight. You're right.
That flows around. It was Will Ferrell and who's the other guy in Step Brothers?
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly. That GIF where he's got the glasses on and his hair is just all out all over the place.
Yeah.
And he's just like, You know what I'm talking, which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
He looks a little John C. Reilly. Hair just out of control.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.